This morning, the message that I have for us is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17. It's a short verse. It's not several sections of the chapter, which we normally would go into, but this verse in particular, I think, makes it very clear to us as Christians that we are living in a new day. That every day that we're alive is a new day. That we have hope because of what God has done for us and because of His will. We have new strength to meet new challenges because He doesn't promise us that we're going to have an easy road, that life is going to be just a piece of cake, or that it's going to be unbumpy. I don't know of any of us that have had an unbumpy life, right? If you have, raise your hand because I need to figure out what your secret is. Because God is there for us. We have new strength to meet these challenges because we have Jesus Christ. And we have a new hope in seeing the any moment return of the Messiah. I don't know about you, but every day I'm ready for Him to come back. How about you? I'm ready. I want Him to come back. I want the suffering that I see every day to end. And so as we read this verse together, let's recognize the promise. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Amen. That's the Lord's word. This verse to me is as good and as important. Of course, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for discernment as well as for giving wisdom. But this is a John 3:16 level scripture to me. Because when you want to remember and you want to forgive yourself, or you're going through some struggle that you just don't think there's any way for you to get to the end of, if you read that verse and you believe it, the old is gone and the new is here. That's what the Bible says. It's God's faithfulness to the lives of His people. He promises us that if we believe in Him, that we will have a new life. That we will be a new person. We celebrated 6 baptisms within the last month. The fact of the matter is that when they come up out of the water, there was a symbolism there of a newness, right? When they were buried in the water, it's a symbol of leaving the old life behind. And the new life, of course, is as they come up. And usually, as you can, when I'm standing in there with them, you can just see the joy on their face. Now, I'm not sure whether it's joy because I actually pulled them up out of the water, or if it's an actual recognition of the new life that they have in Christ. We're going to go with the latter. But the fact of the matter is, you can see a physical change in people. And so this new life that we have, there are 5 ways that I think the Bible makes it very clear to us that our life has changed. The first is that our new life is relational. What does that mean? Well, several folks that I've counseled with over the last many years, their first thing is, I'm so alone. I don't have anybody. Nobody will listen to me. Nobody understands what's going on in my life. This is something that, you know, nobody else can fix. And in some ways, they're right. Because no one has taken the time, no person, no human being has taken the time, in most cases, to listen or see where this individual is coming from in whatever circumstance it is that they find themselves. But what we find out here in this phrase, and understanding what the Bible tells us, is that Jesus is a friend to us. Matter of fact, He's more than that. He's our brother. He's our brother in Christ. And through Him, we have relationship to the Father. But He is relationship. He wants to be in you. So if you are in Christ, the Bible says, then you have a new life. A new life talking about your salvation, talking about your eternity. You no longer have to worry about all those things that are struggling with you. And you do have someone who will hear you and will listen to you at all times. And that's Jesus. If you are in Christ. New life is also transformational. You know, again, going back to these conversations that you have, you know, folks really struggle with forgiving themselves. I know I do. I struggle with it from time to time. I have to be reminded by being directed to this verse. But when you look at it, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Salvation is being born all over again. And we've preached about this over the, and we will some more this year, but if you look at it, we're not talking about, you know, physically going back into the womb and coming back out. We're talking about a spiritual rebirth. We no longer, when we were born as a human being, at the moment that you were conceived, you were in sin. Wow. How's that, Pastor? Well, the world is fallen. Is there anything good about this world other than what God has given us? And the Bible tells us that the world is fallen. Until Jesus Christ returns, the world is fallen. And so when you were born, you were immediately born into a world of sin. And so you need to be reborn into God's world. And the way that we do that is by living in Christ, by accepting Him, by allowing Him to come into our life. And the baptisms and the salvation, the prayers that the sinner's prayers that we pray, the requests that we offer to the Lord, all those are ways that we live in Christ and that we get this transformational salvation, spiritual new birth. The other thing, you know, I'm dealing with someone who's very important to me right now, working through their life. And they feel like their salvation can be lost. In other words, they think that, you know, yeah, well, maybe God forgave me then, but now I've done all these new sins, or these things have happened in my life, or I've never really been forgiven, or I've never given my... Are you sure I really was forgiven when I asked for God to come back? You know, and doubts, we've talked about that. Doubts are normal. Thomas had doubts, right? Moses had doubts. We see doubt in the Bible. But God still gave them the gift, didn't He? He still gave them their salvation. He still gave them the friendship. And the other thing that we know from this verse is that the old is gone and the new is here. The new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. What does that mean? Well, that means that this new life, this salvation that you have as we come into 2021, as you think about your salvation of whenever that was, however long ago that was, it's final. The scripture doesn't say that it went back into the, you know, we've been cleaning out some of these closets over when we started baptism. We couldn't even get in this one over here. Because, you know, sometimes in life, rather than just get rid of something, what do? We put it in the closet, we put it in the basement, we put it in the attic, right? Why do we do that? You know, I've talked before about how I've kept a lot of things just so I can touch it, have some kind of connection back to my parents or maybe to a loved one or something like that. So those are good reasons to keep things, okay? But a lot of our life baggage, all the things, the sins that we committed before we were saved, or even things that we've been forgiven for, what, do we get rid of it? Do we throw it out with the trash? Do we do with this and understand what this scripture says, that the old is gone? No. A lot of times we put it behind a barrier, right? We put it in the closet. We put it in the attic, in our head. And while God has forgiven us, we aren't truly living in Christ at that moment because we haven't given it up. We're still holding on. What this scripture says is that this new life is final. The old unsaved life is gone forever, never to reappear if you are in Christ. If you are in Christ. And so there is some question. You know, what does it mean to be in Christ? When am I saved? When all these things? And these are deep theological discussions that each person needs to decide for themselves. The Bible's clear. It tells us exactly what we need to know, but until you make that decision up here and in here, you're never going to have complete peace. You're never going to be truly enjoying and understand the power of this new life that we're talking about today. This Christian living that we all expect and we pledge to each other, right? We just read a covenant today that we read every month. There's a lot of words in that covenant, you know? And, you know, they used to have as part of the class, you went through that covenant together as a part of the baptism class, right? And we still do that. We still give them that covenant, make sure they understand that that's what they're agreeing to when they become a member of our church. This is what we're agreeing to do for each other and hold each other accountable. There's a lot in there, isn't there? Are there things in there you'd forgotten about? That's why we read them every month, right? I'm sure years ago that whenever the pastor decided that they wanted to read it every month, I'm sure it was because he felt like the church forgot from one month to the next what it was that they committed to. Because we get lazy. Because we like to get stuff, the old stuff out of the closet and bring it back out. New life is final. New life that God tells us about is continual. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. It means some of us are going to live to be 90, 95 years old. We've got some of those folks in our church, don't we? Now, do you think that when they were saved at 10, 15, 18 years old, that their new blessings stopped? Or do you think they've continued to receive new blessings every moment of their life from the Lord? New life is continuing. What does that mean? That means that Harold Englert has the ability to have hope and understand that his life in Christ is going to continue to give him the strength to face all the adversities of life that he's going to get. That I have that same hope and understanding that you do as well, in whatever stage of life that you are. New things from the Lord will keep on coming all through your life. It's not a one and done. It's not something that, you know, you get the benefits. It's not like the cable company, right? They give you this great deal to get you to sign up. You know, you can sign up for, and again, I hate to pick on the cable company because we've got some folks that work for them. And they're great folks, so, you know, I'm just saying. It's an advertising ploy, right? So they get you in there for half price, and then after the six-month promotion, then you get to pay full price, and then maybe a year later, guess what? Your bill goes up 5%, can you see where I'm going with all that? Salvation's not like that. It's not like you get your membership card and a 50% discount on one tank of gas up here at Lykins or something like that. Your salvation gives you continual benefits from Christ for the rest of your life, for eternity. The new life is continual. God will be new for us. You know, when 2021 came in, when 2020 was here, God, every day when you woke up to a new strength to meet new challenges. You woke up to new hope that today would be the day that Christ would come back. And new opportunities to see and to be in God's will. That's what this continual new life is all about. But here's the fifth thing that you need to know. New life is conditional. Uh-oh. Here comes the fine print, right? What does that mean? New life is conditional. The little word if you read that scripture, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. The little word if makes all the difference in the world. Because if you don't accept Him as your Lord and Savior, if you do not truly submit to Him as your Lord and Savior, the new life has not come. So our brothers and sisters that are out in the world that haven't found Christ yet, that are still living their life of sin, that have felt, that feel like they can make it on their own, that they have the strength and the power to do whatever they need to do without God, they don't have this new life. And as I say at every funeral, if you want to have any hope of ever seeing the loved one that you have missed, that has passed away, The only way, if they are a believer, that you will ever be reunited with them is if you are also a believer. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, then you will not see the loved one who has passed away again. It's conditional. You have to accept it. It's a simple thing in words and thought, right? But as I told you, we like to hang on to stuff. We like to hang on to stuff. You know? Powerful people, there's scripture, you know, we have the parable of the rich man, right? What do you have to give up in order to get into heaven? And Christ said you had to give up everything and follow me. Would the rich man do that? It's hard to give up power. It's hard to give up prestige. It's hard to walk away from those things and humble yourself. Really hard. You've all had some level of that in your life. I've had some of mine. You know, the praise that you get, the feelings that you get, you think you can handle things on your own. But I can assure you that the people who are in Congress, the people that are doing all these things with all these agencies right now as we fight COVID, I'm sure that they don't feel like they're capable of solving problems on their own. I'm sure that our community leaders, as we look at our governor and we look at all the folks in the political realm of life, again, the evil world, as we look at all that, they have no way of getting us out of this mess by themselves. They have no power. The only power that can deliver us, truly deliver us, to give us a new life, to give us, you know, this vaccine sounds like such a great thing, right? We have all the science, everything that we need in order to create this thing to give us some immunity or build up immunity over time. And that's all great, and I believe in it. It's science. Guess who gave us science? God. Again, I have brothers and sisters in Christ that are doctors, that are scientists. My cousin is a microbiology studying to try to find ways to cure cancer. I love her work. I think it's wonderful. And I believe that eventually God is going to give us that, right? But I believe it's all from God. I don't believe any man has the ability to do these things on their own. Science is a beautiful tool that God has given to us. But it can be manipulated. And if we don't believe it's from God, certainly there are ways for evil to enter into these circumstances. But you and I have to trust God, right? If you believe in God, if God is in you, if Christ is in you, this new life is unconquerable. But it is something that you have to accept. As you know, we begin 2021. We don't know what it's going to bring, right? I sat in the office the other day and was looking, trying to make some plans, and you know, it's a little different this year for me. I don't know if it is for you, but I'm not planning things as solidly as I did last year. You know, in 2020 at this time, I was thinking about things were definitely going to be this and that, and we could check. 2021, I'm sort of making plans, but I'm leaving a lot of room for other opportunities or maybe other options. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But one thing is for sure, we're going to keep following Christ. We're going to keep following the Lord. We're going to keep doing what we've been doing, which is sharing God's word in our community. That's what Liberty is going to do. That's what you and I are going to do together. We're going to keep bringing hope to the thousands of people that live in our communities that we have contact with every day. But I also know that God is going to direct our path, that He's going to put things in front of us that are going to lead us to good things. I know that He's going to give us the strength and the courage that we need to be able to move forward and to face any adversity that Satan would place in our way. You know, I'm so thankful for the unity that I have seen in our church over these last several months. When people have been sick, you have been there to help them. When people have lost loved ones, you've been there to help them, and you will be to help them. We want to direct, we want God to put us on the path so that His name is glorified by our actions. And so I want to both trust and obey Him. I want us to trust that He is going to provide the tools that we need in order to be able to accomplish His goals here on earth. Not ours, but His. That we wouldn't be the ones to shine, but that He would. And to help us to make this trust and obey the slogan for our Christian living that you and I live every day of our lives. Amen? And so, that actually is our invitation hymn. And thank you, Dreda, for changing that. I know she had picked a different song, but she read my sermon notes and saw that I had used trust and obey, so we're thankful for that. 571, and praise God, she's going to play the piano again. What do you think, three verses? I don't know how many I've got on. Whatever's on the screen, okay? Trust and obey. You guys want to stand and sing with me? With just a few of us here. Disciples. You see, He knew that He was going to have to sacrifice Himself so that we might have this hope, that we might have this new life that we've been talking about this morning. And so He told His disciples that the bread that they were about to eat represented His body. And they were shocked, I'm sure, as many of us are as we think about the impact of this. And as we remember the sacrifice of Christ, as we remember that this wafer that we hold in our hand or whatever it is that you have at home represents the body of Christ that was shed for you. It was broken for you and me. So that our sin, so that our old life could be forever buried and not cause Satan to have any power over us. And that ultimately death will not even be able to keep our soul. That we will be reunited with the Father. As you take and eat this wafer, remember the breaking of his body and the impact it has had on your life. Take and eat it in remembrance of him. As they passed the cup, Jesus reminded them that this represented his blood. And as we know, blood is a very important part of human life. It is the most important part. It's the part that delivers oxygen to our vessels. It's the part that delivers nutrients. It is our life force. Christ shed his blood at Calvary on the cross so that you and I could have our sins washed away. Think about that. That it took the blood of God to be able to give us this peace that we talked about today. This new life. This juice represents that blood. It's a reminder that his blood flowed on the cross to cover your sin and mine. That we know now this new life is going to provide us the opportunity to stand before God at the time of the reckoning, sinless, that our sins will be covered. Take and drink it in remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.